to the book of Psalms, chapter number 18. The book of Psalms, chapter number 18 is where we'll take our text from this afternoon. And for the sake of time, we'll only read the first three verses together, and then we'll give you what the Lord has given to us out of the remainder part of this chapter. Psalms chapter number 18 is where we're at. And if you're in Psalms 18 and you'd like to stand with us, I invite you to do so at this time. And we'll read these three verses together, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then pray and you can be seated. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Well, I like verse 2, don't you? David said, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in the Lord's house today. Lord, we thank you for what you did among us this morning. God, we appreciate the visitation of the Lord tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now as we stand to preach the Word of God. Lord, let us say something that would be helpful to somebody. God, I pray that you would help us to rightly divide the Word of truth and be an encouragement to this body of believers tonight. Well, thank you for what you do here among us. We thank you for what you've already done. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. The 18th chapter of the book of Psalms was written toward the end of David's life. In fact, if you read through 1 and 2 Samuel, which gives you an account of the life of David, you'll discover that 2 Samuel chapter number 22 is almost a word-for-word replica of Psalms chapter number 18. According to 2 Samuel chapter 22, David wrote this psalm when he was at peace or at rest from all of his enemies. David spent much of his early life, if you know much about the life of David, you know this. David spent much of his early life and his middle life running from his enemies. He ran from Saul as a young man. For years, Saul wanted to take the life of David. He wanted to extinguish that young life that was David. And so he fled and he ran from Saul for many years. And then after even the death of Saul and David was made king, that still did not bring him peace, for he still ran. We read how he ran from even his own son Absalom for many years. But when we pick up in Psalms chapter 18, David now is through running. God has given him rest and God has given him peace. And God has given him his great kingdom. And it almost seems like to me that when we read Psalms chapter 18, we are reading about a man that has received the blessings of God and he's received the goodness of God, and almost in a fit of praise and in a fit of worship, he begins to recant for us the things that God did for him, and he begins to worship God in Psalms chapter 18 in verse 1, 2, and 3. I don't know if you read worship in those verses, but I certainly read worship in those verses. Notice the way David begins. He says in verse 1, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Well, I like that word love in verse 1. That word love in verse 1 is a Hebrew word that means to love deeply or to have compassion. Interestingly enough, that same word translated love in verse 1 in the book of Jeremiah is translated womb. Now, you would seemingly think those two things wouldn't have anything to do with each other, but it's translated womb in Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. It's that same word, love, you see. You see, when David says that he loves God in verse 1, he is not just saying he's got this pet love, this young love that so many people have, but he has a deep affection. He has that type of love that could only be described as a mother who carries that child inside of her womb, that love that she has for that child. That is a different kind of love. Hey, I'm telling you, you think you know love, but I believe that when God takes that baby and he puts it inside of that child, he teaches her love that day like she's never known before. Amen. And David said, that's the way that I love God. I love him deeply. I love him with compassion. I love him with all that I have. And David begins in verse 1 by saying, I love God. And after he expresses his love for God, he begins in verse 2 by telling us all the things that God is to him. All that God means to him, he gives him in verse 2. And it's verse 2 that has my attention tonight. In fact, it's not really even verse 2 that has my attention, but it's a phrase in verse 2 that has my thoughts for this afternoon, and I'll give you that in just a moment. But I want us to think about verse 2. David begins to describe what God means to him. David said in verse 2, God is my rock. That word rock in verse 2 speaks of strength. It speaks of stability. It speaks of a place of refuge. We know that Christ was the great cornerstone on which the church would be built. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us the story about the wise man who built his home upon the rock. You remember that story, don't you? And the Bible says that the winds blew and the rain fell and the thunder and lightning crashed. But that man's house stood because it was built upon the rock. Hey, I'm telling you that David got it right when he said that God is a rock. I believe that he is the rock not only on which the church is built, but he's the rock on which I hope our homes are built. I believe that our nation was built. And if our homes are built on him and our church is built on him, then our homes will stand and our church will stand the test of time. Hey, Jesus Christ, that rock of ages cleft for me. Hey, I'm telling you, David got it right when he said that he was the rock in verse 2. Not only is he the rock, but he's the fortress. This word fortress speaks of Jerusalem. It was that city of Jerusalem set atop of Mount Zion. It was a stronghold, a magnificent city. It was a place of strength in the times of trouble. It was a place that people could run to in days of battle. It was a city of refuge that was a glimmering hope on top of the hillside to all those that would run into it. And David said, when I think of God, that's the way I think of him. He said, I think of him as a place to run in times of trouble. I think of him as a glimmer of hope in days of darkness. He said, he is my rock, but not only that, he is my fortress. In verse 2, he said, he is my shield. When we think about a shield, we would probably think of protection. But actually, that word shield in verse 2 means something different. It means David is saying that God, the Lord, now is his shield. That means David is saying he is my king. He is the ruler over me. That word shield in that verse, it's a sign of a king. You see, when a king would have his royal signet or his royal letters, he would put them on a shield or a buckler, and he would hang that up, and that was his royal crest, if you would. David was the shield of Israel, but God was his shield. God was his king in verse number 2. Verse number 2, he says, not only is he my rock and my fortress, my shield, he said he's my horn. That word horn speaks of strength, but not just any strength. It speaks of messianic strength. Luke chapter 1 verse 69 says, and hath raised up an horn of salvation to the house of his servant David, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you remember that brazen altar that stood outside of the holy place and the most holy place there in the tabernacle area in the Old Testament? And it was at that brazen altar where blood was shed. It was at that brazen altar where sins were forgiven. That brazen altar where the innocent died for the guilty. But that brazen altar had four horns on it, one on each corner. And if a man was under attack from his enemies, he could flee to the place where the blood was shed. He could flee to the place where the innocent gave their life for the guilty. He could flee to the place where sins were forgiven. And if he could lay hold on one of the horns of the altar, he could find safety. David said, that's what God is. He said, I'm thankful that I serve a God that after the enemy comes after you, as you run from the enemy, there's a place in him that you can run to and you can find safety in the times of trouble. Those are all wonderful descriptions of God. But there's one word at the or one phrase at the end of verse 2 that has my attention for this afternoon. David lists all that God is to him. And at the end of verse 2, he says, and my high tower. Tonight, I want us to think about that phrase, high tower. And if the Lord will allow me to, I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on the thought, the Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my high tower. I want you to notice three things out of verse number 2. And the remainder of this chapter, I'll give them to you as quick as I can. I want us to take those three words, my high tower, and preach on that thought. The Lord is my high tower. Notice this, number one. I want you to see the possessiveness of the tower. I want you to see the possessiveness of the tower. Notice the wording in this verse. David describes God not as being a high tower or the high tower, but instead David says, the Lord is my high tower. It's one thing to talk about the attributes of God, but it is something altogether different to make those attributes of God personal. Hey, I thought about this. We could all agree that God is omnipotent. That means that God is all-powerful. Would you agree with me tonight that we serve a strong God? Amen. He's a strong God. He's a mighty God. And it would be one thing for me to say God is strong. God is strength. But it's something altogether different for me to say God is my strength. Amen. And I'm glad that He is. I'm glad that I serve a strong God. But I'm glad that this God is my strength. Amen. Hey, it would be one thing for me to say that God is a good shepherd. And He is. He's a good shepherd. That's what He said of Himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the holy shepherd. He's the high shepherd. Hey, I'm glad that I serve the good shepherd tonight. But Brother Wally, I'm glad that Psalms chapter 23 said the Lord is not a good shepherd, but He said He is my shepherd. Amen. I'm glad He's mine, aren't you? Hey, I'm glad that I can report to you tonight that our God is a Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of mankind. He's the Savior of you and I. But I've got even better news. He's my Savior. Amen. I'm glad that He saved me. I'm glad that not only did He come to save the world, but He came to save me. Amen. You see the difference there. Hey, He didn't just say that He is a high tower, but David said He's my high tower. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you the difference. Some of y'all are grandparents. Some of y'all are parents. And, you know, there's all sorts of kids running around this church. We love all these kids, don't we? Amen. We love to see them run around the church, and we love to see them bringing their missionary offering. We love to see them if they get up and sing or whatever they do. But those of you who are grandparents, if one of your grandbabies is one of those little ones running around, you might love all those kids, but let's be honest, there's something different about that one. Amen. If you're a parent, there's something different about that one. Amen. You know why? Because they're yours. Amen. Now, I love your all's kids. I'm their pastor and I love them. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've got many pictures on my iPhone of your all's kids. But I've probably got hundreds of mine. Amen. You know why? They belong to me. They're mine. It's personal. And David now is not just saying God's a high tower, God's a shield, God's a rock, God's a fortress. But David said, oh my, I look over my life and I see that all that God has done for me. And David said, He's my rock and He's my fortress and He's my strength and He's my deliverer and He's my high tower and He's my buckler. Hey, I'm telling you, this is a possessive, a personal relationship that David mentions in verse 2. I think David could say that he was his high tower. This was possessive because there was some past experiences. I think there was some past experiences that led David to say this. He said in verse 29, he said, for by thee I've run through a troop, and by my God I've leapt over walls. You know what David's doing in verse 29? He's telling us some things that God has been with him through, some things that God has allowed him to do. I believe David could rightly claim that God was his high tower because there had been some experiences in the life of David in which God had proven to him that he belonged to him and he was his and they were in union with one another and that he was God's. Hey, I think David in his mind could go back to the time and he could say, I could tell you the story of how it was just me and a flock of sheep out there on the backside of the wilderness, and along come a lion and along come a bear, and they were hungry. They had that look in their eyes like they was coming to eat. He said, but somebody was with me that day. God was with me that day. And he said, I took my bare hands and I slew the lion. And I took my bare hands and I slew the bear. Hey, David did not do that, but God did that through David. Amen. I believe David could say, let me tell you the story. If you want to know how I know God is mine, he said, I could take you out to the battlefield that day when an over 9 foot tall giant walked into the valley named Goliath and began to curse the God of Israel. And I said within myself, is there not a cause? And I walked down there with just a slingshot and 5 smooth stones and said, hey, big boy, I've got news for you. You come with spear and a sword, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And David could watch and tell us how that stone flew out of his sling and that giant fell at his feet dead and he took his sword and cut his head off. I reckon David could say God was with me that day. Amen. Amen. I think David knew what he was talking about, don't you? Hey, David knew when he said God is mine, he could say that with confidence. God had been there for him. God had been there with him. God had watched over him, taken care of him. Hey, David knew what it was like to have trouble and trials and tribulations. David knew what it was like to shed bitter tears as he watched his loved ones pass away, as he held his own children in his arms and watched them die. David knew what that was like, but David also knew what it was to say in the book of Psalms, when my mother and my father hath forsaken me, then will God lift me up. Hey, God was with him during those times. Hey, he could say God is mine possessively because of what God had done for him. Boy, I'm glad that I can testify to you tonight that God has proven some things to me over the years. Amen. Yeah. I can stand here and say that he is my God, not just a God or the God, but he is my God. Amen. Amen. I've watched as God's paid bills for me that I could not pay. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. I'm telling you it's true. I've watched as God has taken care of things that I couldn't take care of. I can testify tonight that there's been times in my life when I was tired and I didn't know if I could go on, but God was my strength. Hey, I can testify that there have been instances when I've had no words to say, but needed to say something, and God has stood by my side, given me something to say. Hey, I can testify tonight that there have been nights that I was so brokenhearted and I was so hurt that I did not care if the sun ever shined in the morning. But I can also testify that somewhere in the darkness of night, somewhere in the midnight hour, God would show up. God would give me hope and God would give me strength and God would let the sun shine again. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, God, he's my God. It's possessive with me. I hope you feel the same way. David could say possessively that he was his high tower because of the past experiences. But not only the past experiences, but David could say possessively that God was his high tower because of promises that were expressed. Because of promises that were expressed. He said in verse 22, he said, and all thy judgment was before me, and I did not put away his precepts or his statutes, his word from me. Not only did David know that God was his high tower because of the past experiences, but David could say that God was his high tower because he had God's word on it. He said, I did not put away your statutes. The word statutes means precepts or his words. The statutes were the words of God. In verse 22, now there may be somebody here tonight and you're saying, Brother Josh, I don't know. You know, God, you said God did all those things for you, But I don't know if God's done all those things for me. Well, let me say two things. Let me say this first of all. You may think that God's not done all those things for you, but you're wrong. Amen? You're wrong. Sometimes despair and defeat causes us to have a twisted view on things. Amen? But if we honestly look back over our lives, I think we could all testify that God has done some good things for us. You walked into this building tonight, didn't you? Amen? God been good to you. You woke up this morning, didn't you? I don't see many of us tonight that are withering away to anything. We've probably ate pretty good. God's been good to us. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that you're right. God's not done any of those things for you. You know how I can still emphatically declare that He's your God? Because the Bible says He is. Amen. Because the Bible says He is. David said, I've got God's word on it. I've got His statutes. I've got His word on it. He said, I can testify that God is my high tower. I can say that He is my high tower. I can say that and say it with confidence in my heart because I know God said it in His word. If God said it in His word, He's a God that cannot lie. And so if He said it, He meant it, and He meant it to be true. He is yours and you are His. You've got His word on it. Amen. David said, He is my high tower. But not only did he say He's my high tower, I see not only the possessiveness of this tower, but notice this number two. I want you to see the perspective of this tower. Notice the second word. He said, He is my high tower. Not only is he a tower, but he's my high tower. David not only tells us that he was possessively his, but he was his high tower. In these days, a tower would be built in a city or on a city wall, and they normally stood somewhere between 15 and 50 feet tall. Archaeologists have discovered towers in these days that stood as tall as 60 feet and had walls as thick as 12 feet thick. But David now tells us in verse 2, he said, God is not only mine, but God gives me a different perspective on things because he's my high tower. Well, I thought about that word high, that perspective in verse 2. Notice this about it. It separates you from distractions. That high tower does, it separates you from distractions. Verse 48, David said, he delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Look at the language of verse 48. David tells us that God lifted him up above his enemies. You see, down at the ground level where David lived, there were distractions. Down on the ground, there were difficulties. Down on the ground, there was dangerous men. At ground level was where David fought his enemies. At ground level is where David ran from men like Saul and Absalom. He wept and cried for his children down on the ground. But I'm telling you, David testifies in verse 2 that in the midst of troubles and trials that take place down below, he said, there's a few times that God has lifted me up far above those distractions. From time to time, God would come. That great high tower would come. And he would cause David to rise up above where all the troubles and trials were. And it would take him to a place of calm. And it would take him to a place of peace. Hey, I'm telling you, there's battles raging here below. But in God, there's a place lifted up above all of that. I've got some bad news. I've got some good news. The bad news is that as long as we live in this world, we're going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. Amen? It's always going to be that way here on the earth. But I've got good news. The good news is that there's a place in Jesus Christ where you can run to and He can lift you up above all of that. Amen? Hey, it's good news. He can lift you. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a place of sweet peace and rest. Amen? That place in Jesus Christ. Hey, there's been times in my life when I've been so distracted with the cares of this life. There's been times when it seemed like everywhere I turned, there was something else to do and somebody else that needed something. Hey, but I'm telling you, when it seems like there's no relief
and it seems like I'm so distracted and I'm so distraught and I'm so downcast. Boy, I'm telling you, in those times I've walked, sometimes I've almost even drugged myself into a church house, into a revival somewhere, and I walked in defeated, I walked in discouraged. But before that service was over, God had lifted me up above all of that. Hey, the battle was still raging down below. Hey, the troubles and trials, they were still there. There were still things to do. But God had picked me up and He had lifted me up above. He had lifted me up above all of that. Hey, there's been times I've went into my prayer closet and all the problems didn't get solved. But just for a few minutes, God took me up in that high tower. And He let me just come apart for a little while, just fellowship with Him for a little while. Hey, David said, there's a perspective up here. There's a tower that God will lead you up to. God will take you to, and He'll help you in those times. Yeah. Amen. David said, He's lifted me up. He's taken me up. He's set me up above all the distractions. He separates us from that. But not only does He separate us from the distractions, but He lets us see at a distance when He takes us up on that high tower. David said in verse 19, he said, He brought me forth into a large place. You've got to understand that David, when he writes Psalms 18, he speaks from the perspective of a man who felt like he was trapped. He felt like that the enemy was all around him. He felt like he was hemmed into a corner. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Felt like he is hemmed up in a corner. Amen. But in verse 19, he said, God, from time to time, He takes me to a large place. He said, when I feel trapped and I feel hemmed in and I felt caught, He said, from time to time, God lets me that high tower, lets me get in that large place. Hey, in this day, it was not uncommon for them to build towers on top of city walls. Or in vineyards, they would build towers in vineyards. Boy, I thought about the fact that down inside the city, where there's buildings and there's structures and there's people, all you can see is what's right in front of you. You can just see those things that are right there around you. You can only see what's right in front of your face. But if you used to go up into one of those towers 50 feet in the air and you used to reach the summit of that tower, you know what you'd be able to do? You could see for miles in all directions. A large place, you see that? Miles in all directions. You know what God does for us from time to time? Sometimes we battle and we're burdened down, and all we can see is what's right in front of us. All we can see is that problem. All we can see is that child. All we can see is that marriage. All we can see is that bill. All we can see is that health condition. That's all we can see. But from time to time, God takes us up in that high tower. And when He takes us up in that tower, He gives us a different perspective on things. We can see where He's brought us from. We can see miles into the past. We can see all those times that He's blessed us before. All those times He's been there for us before. All those problems He's dealt with before. He's taken care of those things. And then after He lets us see where He's brought us from, He gives us a glimpse in the other direction. And He says, this is where I'm taking you. Now all you can see down there is what's in front of your face. But I've got a large place for you. I've got some horizons I'm going to let you cross. I've got some mountaintops I'm going to let you step on. Hey, He lets us see at a distance when He takes us up on that high tower. Oh, Peg McCamey sings a song where she says that, she said, you're standing on the mountain holding to the shepherd's hand. The valley you've just come through was hard to understand. Then the shepherd draws you closer. There's something He wants you to see. He points back to the valley and unfolds its mysteries. The eagles soar around you and you look back on where you've been. One by one, He answers questions that He did not answer then. And now He shows you the danger of going your own way. All the roads you thought were better, that would have led your soul astray. He reminds you of that moment when you could not make it through. Now you see one set of footprints where He reached down and carried you. And as the tears fall off your shoulder and you thank Him for His love, He says, child, I knew that one day you would see the valley from above. And then she sung the chorus and said, oh, things look different from the mountains, from the shepherd's point of view, standing tall above your trials, that he's brought you safely through. All the valley's disappointments will never look the same. For things look different on the mountain from the shepherd's point of view. Hey, I'm telling you, you may not be able to see today. You may not be able to see right now what God's doing with you. But I'm telling you, there's a place that he'll lift you up to and he'll let you see one day. Well, I see his possessiveness. I see his position, his perspective. I think that's the word I used, his perspective. He lets you see the perspective from that high tower. But I want you to notice this, and I'm done. Last of all, I see the protection of that high tower. The protection of that high tower. I want you to finally notice the last word. He said he is my high tower. There are different words used in the Bible that are translated meaning the same thing. The same word is translated and means high tower or watchtower. But this is the most common translation, strong tower. Amen. Strong tower. Hey, the strong tower is very important to a city. According to Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4, it was in the strong tower, the high tower, they would keep their armory. That's where the shields were. That's where the swords were. That's where the spears were. That's where the bow and arrows were. So that if the enemy wanted to come fight, you ran to the strong tower. There was protection in there. Grandpa, when the enemy came and encamped about the city, those men had to go out and fight. They would take the women and the children. They would lead them to the strong tower, the high tower, the watchtower. And they would enclose them inside of that watchtower because there's protection inside of there. Hey, I'm telling you that God is not only mine. And he not only gives me a different perspective on things, but I'm telling you that God is my strong tower. He's my high tower. He's my protection from the enemy. Amen. Watch this. Letter A, he's protection from the enemy. Verse number 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This was a place of protection from the enemy. This was certainly a place where David could run and he could find safety. But there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than the fact that you could be enclosed in that structure and could be protected in there. Watch this. I told you there were different words now. High tower, strong tower. They mean the same thing. There's that word watchtower. I'm talking about protection now from the enemy. These cities would have at least one high tower, strong tower, watchtower. They'd put it up on the city wall. If there was a vineyard, they would build a high tower in that vineyard for the same purpose. And it was somebody's job to go up inside of that tower and watch. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for enemies. You see, up there, they could see at a distance. They could see things that people down below could not see. And so they would go up there and they would watch. And if the enemy was coming, it would be their responsibility to sound the alarm and let everybody know that danger was coming. It was their job. For if they did not sound the alarm, the enemy would overtake them unawares and take their city. When David said he's my high tower, not only is he saying that I can run into him, and we can run into him and find shelter. There's safety under the wing of God. But David's saying that my God is like a high tower, a watchtower. You know what God does for us? God looks out over the horizons. And God sees what that enemy wants to do to you. He sees the enemy coming. And God sounds the alarm. God protects us. God watches over us. Do you understand that nothing will ever come into your life as a child of God unless God approves of it first? Amen. Oh, Satan come to God about Job. And he said, oh, you brag about Job. He said, but the reason that Job loves you so much is because you got a hedge built around him. You know what that tells me, Brother Wally? That tells me that there was times before that Satan wanted to put it on Job and God said no. Yes, amen. Satan wanted to get to old Job. God said no. Amen. Yeah. And the time God did allow Satan to get to him, it was only under his watch care. Hey, I'm telling you, that enemy may look big and he may look scary and it may look ugly, but I'm telling you what, hey, God is watching out for you. God is your watchtower. He has protected you from things that you've never even seen before. There have been enemies that have wanted to come against you before, but he has not allowed them. He promised us that no weapon formed against us was even going to prosper. I'm telling you, God is watching out for his children. Amen. There's protection. There's protection from the enemy. But in verse 4 and 5, there's protection for eternity. There's protection for eternity. Verse 4, David said, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." God was not only protecting David from his enemy, but he was protecting his eternity as well. In verse 4 and 5, David speaks of the sorrows of death and the sorrows of hell. The enemy was vicious. The enemy would have loved nothing more than to snuff out the life of David and to drag him into hell. But there was a place of safety in Jesus Christ. Not only will he make sure that I am safe from the enemy while I am here, but he will make sure that I am safe from the enemy. Don't worry about that phone. I'm right here, okay? I'm right here. Hey, I'm telling you, not only will he make sure that I'm safe from the enemy now, but he will make sure that I am safe from the enemy when it comes time to die. Amen. What is it, Luke chapter 16, 15? We have the story of the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus. That's the one I'm looking for, the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible tells us when that old beggar Lazarus died. The Bible says this, it said, "And Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." You know what happened? That old beggar, he didn't mean much to anybody. He's just sitting out there at that gate full of sores begging for bread. But he's a child of the King. Amen. And when it come time to die, you know what God did? God said, "That's one of mine. Y'all go get him. Make sure he makes it over the crossing fine." The Bible says he carried him into that place of paradise. Come time for that man of God, Elijah, to die. If you call it dying. The Bible says in the book of 2 Kings, I believe it is, 1 Kings, the Bible says that God sends a fiery chariot down from heaven. And he picks Elijah up in that fiery chariot in a whirlwind and carries him over to the other side. You know what God did? Made sure he got there safely. The Bible tells me in the book of Acts that there's a young man by the name of Stephen. He's being stoned to death for the cause of Christ, for preaching the gospel. The Bible says just moments before he dies, God takes that veil down that separates the physical and the spiritual, and God lets it fall from his eyes. And Stephen, although the rocks were flying at him and the pain was engulfing his body and life was leaving him, Stephen gets a glimpse of the other side and he said, "Wait a minute. I'm seeing something I've never seen before." He said, "It's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. And he's standing at the right hand of the throne of God on high." You know what God was doing? One of his saints was coming home. And the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And Jesus was getting up to make sure he made it on over to the other side. The great preacher of yesteryear, R.G. Lee, was probably best known for his vivid descriptions that he could paint with his words. Spiritual pictures as powerful as his preaching. Many claim that Dr. Lee, through the Holy Ghost, could make visible the invisible. But when it come time for R.G. Lee to die, they say that he was laying on his deathbed when suddenly his eyes opened up wide.
Dr. R.G. Lee said to his wife, he said, oh, he said, I see heaven. I didn't do it justice. I see Jesus. I didn't do him justice. God was taking him on home. A few hours before entering eternity, D.L. Moody caught a glimpse of glory that was awaiting for him. D.L. woke up out of his sleep, and Moody said, earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley there. God is calling me, and I must go. Moody's son was standing at his bedside and said, no, no, Father, you're dreaming. But Moody replied, no, I'm not dreaming. I've been within the gates. I've seen the children's faces. And a short time later, he said, this is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. And he passed on. I'm telling you, friend, I've got a watchtower. I've got a high tower, a strong tower. He's watching out for me down here. Amen. I don't know when the day will be, but I know when my time comes, when it's time for me to go, I believe that God, my watchtower, my strong tower, my high tower, is going to make sure that I make it safely to the other side. Well, Brother Scott comes with a song. Brother Eric comes to play something on the piano.